How are we all doing this morning? Good. It's good to see you all. Glad to be walking erect. And isn't it wonderfully chilly outside, or fresh?
Fresh.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, just during the worship time, just there was an amazing presence of God, and we know that because that's part of our expectation that God is here, because He arrived when we walked in the room. But Janine also felt there was a bit of an warring angelic host here as well, and she said it more for based on what I was going to preach, and that's very encouraging. But the more I sought that and prayed through that, I really felt that, you know, we believe that there are ministering angels sent to minister to us. And I really felt it was because we've changed tack, because we've changed the tone of the meeting, doesn't mean the angels get, oh, well, okay, worship's over, we can go and sit down now. And I really believe that there are ministering angels here this morning who want to minister to us as we go through the Word. And so this morning, should be there by now. It's not there by now. I want to start a new series called Carrying Stuff. Carrying Stuff. And, carrying stuff. I was actually going to ask Michael and Janine to come up with all their stuff on, because if you look under there, they've got bags and every other thing. Come up with all their stuff and see all the stuff that they've got to carry. And if you've got a baby, where's the Dent family? They came here and they got all their stuff. Took all their stuff that they got to carry around with themselves. And so I want us just to have a look at some slides when we're up there. Okay, there we go. Carrying stuff. So let's just have a look at this. It helps if I switch it on, right? Here we go. Carrying stuff. Hey, how much stuff are you carrying? That's called an expert in loading stuff. Here they go, peace. Right at the top, peace. I have no idea how they did that. But this morning, we start the series called Carrying Stuff, but this morning I want to talk about claiming our stuff. And I think this is a great series that follows on from our last series we just did, Clearing the Minefields. And it poses a question, but also makes a statement, because no one in this room, including me, goes without saying, can say, well, I don't carry any stuff, or / baggage. Now, I'm cool. I got no baggage. I'm free. We all carry some baggage. Whether it's just a little piece of baggage or actual fact like some of that other stuff, we're carrying some baggage. And one of the scriptures I want to use is Ecclesiastes 3:6, which says, there is a time to keep and a time to cast away or throw away. And if you would read the little insert I put in the bulletin, it would help a little bit. You know, we find on our life's journey that there's the actual journey and then there's the destination. And if you're going to Cuba, where Ken and Brenda are right now, the journey has no import. It's the destination that's important. And some of you say, I hate travel. I hate flying. I hate getting on a train. I hate getting on a plane. I hate getting on a bus. Or I hate car travel. And that's the journey, but I love the destination. I love getting to where I am. And I'm just one of those guys. I love the travel, and I love the destination. What I don't like is the stuff that I have to carry with me to get there. I didn't want to say that. You know, when you see, I was going to do a little demo today and see how Bridget travels and how I travel.
And she brought everything you forgot.
And she's got everything I forgot. The problem is, you see, if you look at travel these days, travel's evolving, or has been evolving for a long time now. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get me ticked, get on an aeroplane with me and sit in the seat in front of me, behind me, but put your suitcase in my space.
Yeah, I know.
I have no qualms in moving your bag. I promise you. Because I paid for that seat and that space is mine. This is the way I think. You've paid for your seat in your space. Don't put it in my place. And I, you know, I've watched people look at me. And it's great that I'm 6'1". Because not many people argue. And I just get on and I just shift their stuff across and put my... I'm very gentle. I'm very loving about it. But have you noticed how many people get to the airport? Man, and they've got a bag around their neck and they've got one over their shoulder and they've got two of these bags. And they're going to get on the airplane. And the sign clearly says, one handbag, one carry-on. Where's your handbag? No, you got the wrong one today. Where's Susan? Susan, where's your little bag? No, the little one. Okay, show us the little one, Bridge. There you go. Handbag. Pick up the other one, lovey. Pick up the other one. Pick up the other one. Handbag. And then there's the carry-on. That doesn't quite fit into the thing. And then it's like... And they spend hours. And I'm thinking, why don't the airlines start loading from number 30 to number 1? It drives me nuts. Anyway. And then... Thank you. I know it's not very spiritual. And then what happens is that they come in and they jam all this and they got it on their laps and under their feet, and I'm not built for flight. You know, I think when they wanted to build for flight, they called some other people. They called all the Brendas and said, Brenda, we want to measure how much space you need. I can say this because she's not here. How much space you need. And then all, and I mean, and I'm doing pretty good. You must see you travel with Alan on an airplane or Tom. It's not helpful. Anyway, and so what happens then is everybody is, instead of checking their baggage and then claiming their baggage at the end, have you watched them? Like, they can hardly even walk, you know. They're getting through the airport and they're battling with all this stuff. You know, life is like that sometimes. We don't want to claim our baggage. We don't want to check it in. We won't admit it. We don't want to say, when I say, you carrying stuff, you go, no, I'm not. I'm perfect. You, no, not me. No, you got to check your baggage. And when you get your destination, you got to claim your baggage. But they walk with a limp in life. And they will not let go. And we're going to talk about that into the weeks that we come. And so right now, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, please. And so what I've done today also, though, I've put it up on the board a bit. And we did some of this Colossians bit in the previous series. We did verses 1 down to about 4, I think it was. And the whole point is, if you got the little headings at the top, it says, put on your new self. And what we have to understand with what the analogy that Paul is drawing here, he's talking about, actual fact, if you go into the original Greek, what he's saying is, take off your old clothes, take off your dirty clothes, take off your old shirt, your dirty shirt, and put on the new one. And if you have that picture in your head, let's read together. Number 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death what is earthy, your old nature. And I've added the little pieces for us. Put to death your old nature, the old man. And that was part of when you get saved, and then we get baptized, and then that's the point that we're saying, I'm putting to death my old man, I'm rising up as a new creation. And then it says, in your sexual immorality, your impurity, your passion, and that Greek word. You know, in the Greek language, in English, we have one word means a whole lot of stuff. But in the Greek there, it's more broken down. There's like 4 or 5 words mean the same thing. So love, in English, we say love. But in the Greek, there's philia, there's agape, there's eros, and there's one more. So that's the point here. This passion is lust, evil desire, and covetousness, greed. Well, I'm not covetousness. Are you greedy? Are you? For which is idolatry, which is self-idolizing spirit. You idolize yourself a little bit. It's all about you, your ego, your preference, your... On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you once walked. Once upon a time. In our old life, we walked. When you're living in them, but now you must put them away. Take off the old shirt. That's what it's saying. Take it off. So what are we taking off? Well, we've taken off, that's the old nature. Now we take off anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Well, just a little white lie. Well, I just had to just, you know, sins of commission and sins of omission. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Because we want to get rid of the stuff. This part of the series is, are you carrying stuff? And we're going to look at some of the stuff we carry because we want to get rid of it so we can travel free and travel light. Amen. Okay, there we go. Funnily enough, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I know Chris alluded to that this morning, and we have this poetic picture in our head that over the ramparts of heaven are this cloud of witnesses watching us. That's poetic. It's not really true. What is true, which Chris pumped, and I hope we got it, and what he's saying, this great cloud of witnesses, if you go and read it, Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Rahab, by faith and Ruth, and by faith Gideon, and by faith, and there's everybody by faith. And so what is it saying to us? We have this great cloud of witnesses, these doyens, these archons, these great men and women of the faith who had this living act of faith, are encouraging us, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And that word is euphemostatos. For those who speak Greek, it's all Greek to me. Which means, which ambushes and thwarts from every angle. You see, I've got this little dude here with this like spider web all over him. And let us run with endurance the race that is set for us. We got to get rid of every weight and sin, everything that holds us back, everything that is trying to ambush us. Another word it uses, encircles us. That encircles us and holds us. And we're straining. This little dude is, yay, straining. Ecclesiastes 3:1 starts off, says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. But the one I love so much is where we want to talk about is, there's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There is a season in God, and we've spoken many times about calendars and all that kind of stuff. And I really believe for us in God that we are expectant and we have a heart of expectancy. And the point of the previous series, clearing our mind fields and clearing the minds out of our life and things that will implode and explode upon us. We cannot be expectant when we have those things holding us down. And even now, carrying stuff. There's stuff we've got to get rid of and jettison. Check your baggage in. Say, I claim that thing for myself. I don't agree with what everything he says, but I think Dr. Phil says something like this, that you cannot ever deal with something unless you admit to it. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to those around you. We just read, don't lie to one another. The worst lie you can tell is to yourself. Because we all live with this stuff that we're carrying, this baggage that we're carrying. And there's something that I've had to learn for myself. It's not just for you, it's for me too. There's a Greek word called skatoma. And what that word means, this is not in my notes, I don't know why I'm doing it, but anyway, a skatoma is a blind spot. We have blind spots. And that's why they call blind spots, because you cannot see them. And I cannot see them. And we have brothers and sisters who will show them, dude, do you know that you do this? No, I don't. Yes, you do. Kevin's really apt at mocking me and my little antics and what I do. And how he says, do you know that you actually scratch your head or do this or whatever? I said, no, I don't. She said, no, you do. Go and watch yourself. Anyway, that's just the point. The point I'm making, it's a scotoma. Unconsciously doing it, but you don't know that you're doing it. It's not a bad thing. Don't go, ooh, Kevin. So, what stuff am I carrying? And this is a question you're posing to yourself, not that I'm posing to you. What stuff are you carrying? And I know we can do, there's a myriad of them, but I've just selected these ones. Number one, unfulfilled expectations. We have unrealistic expectations in life. You know, I've known a few guys in my life. We sit and watch the Olympics. Now you have to know that these people, these young men and women of the world, are the most highly trained athletes around. And I was sitting with this guy that I knew, and we watched this guy run the 100, I don't know when it was, some years back, I don't know who won. And he won the 100 meters, and he looked there and he says, I can do that. I said, really? He says, yeah, no, it doesn't take much. Watch John McEnroe win the Wimbledon. He said, I could do that. I said, I think you're delusional, bud. Have you ever played tennis? No, but if I took it up, I could be as good as that, eh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Unfulfilled expectations. I had a cousin. And unfortunately, American, I know we Canadians, that's cool. The American people are raising on a narcissistic teenagers. The average mummy, and I say mummy, not mother, mummy, calls her son 14 times a day. How you, my boy? How you doing? Are you okay? Did you get your lunch? Did you do this? Did you? Between the ages of 14 and 16, the average mother calls their son. Why are they building up? I had a cousin who was built up to believe that he was the greatest in everything. And because of that, when he came out of school and he faced the big bad world, he was a hopeless failure for many, many years. Because he had unfulfilled expectations of what the world owed him. And the world doesn't owe us anything. The same as we see Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. When gratification is constantly denied us and it's constantly just out of our reach, one's heart becomes sick and loses hope. The fulfillment is like a tree of life. When you receive that gratification, it's wow. We think God is beholden or obligated to make things better for us. Well, now I'm a Christian, now I love God and God loves me, and so everything's going to be better. This is what Scripture says. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Tiptoe through the tulips. Da, da. We live in a fallen world, and when life doesn't work out the way we expect it to work. Well, I've got, you know, I was, I don't know what you want to call me, but anyway. When I was young, I had idealistic. I was very idealistic. I was not going to get married until I was 28. I was not going to be married until I owned my own home and paid off the house. And I wasn't going to get married until I paid off, bought my first car and owed my, and paid off my own car. I didn't accomplish any of those. I got married when I was 22. I got married when I hadn't bought a house yet. And I think I still was driving around in some old skedonk. You know what a skedonk is? Car that you tie together when you drive it. Unfulfilled expectations. Number two is untreated pain. I think Janine, in her message last week, she said she sort of feels things that when God created us, He never created us to withstand pain. I think she's right. I don't think God built in with us in our heart to be able to handle pain. I think that just came as the part of the fall, and we're still trying to deal with it. Too often, when we've been verbally abused, we smile and say, oh, it's okay. You know, one of the things, and I hope very soon to be a citizen of this country, Bridget and I, but you know, one thing we've seen has sort of become an international joke, if you look at it, there's even an advert about it now, is how Canadians, we always say sorry. And we don't know why we're saying sorry. We just say sorry. Sorry. It's almost like an international joke. They've got an advert on TV right now. And they say, well, don't do that. And he goes, sorry. He says, yeah, exactly. And everybody laughs because they know. I'm sorry. Part four of our last series said, remember, did I just say that? When things come out of my mouth without a filter, and James, when we read through a couple of chapters of James, it said there's three little things, bits, rudders, and sparks. Remember that? You spoke about it. Yeah, one time we did some leadership training, and we got this thing called death by paper cut. And you go, what? How many of you have ever had a paper cut? It's kind of sore. I have no idea. This thin little piece of paper, and when it paper cuts you, it's sore. And you know, our cruel words and our unthought through words, when they come out, they're like death through paper by paper cut. Is that what I meant? Yes, death by paper cut. Cruel words and lies. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. It's like duct tape mentality. Well, we'll just take a duct tape and just wrap it around it and it'll all be good. And when we have untreated pain, when we have the pain in us that is untreated and continued, just builds up and builds up until there's a callus there. And you know what the story is, that but underneath it's festering, and one day it's going to explode and it's all going to come out, and it's all going to come out ugly. And we don't want that to happen. And we've got to learn to treat the pain. Number three, unresolved yesterdays. This is the baggage we carry. We don't want to deal with stuff. Sometimes we think if we just leave it alone, it'll deal with itself, and it doesn't. But what it does, it actually makes it worse. Bridget and I have an argument and a fight. We don't want to deal with it. What do? We sulk. We don't speak to each other. And when Mama ain't happy, even Coco's not happy. She looks, what's going on here? I'm joking. Yeah. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Religion will tell, no, you're not allowed to get angry. Don't ever get angry. I think there's righteous anger. I think it's time we get angry. But then God says, I've got a plan for you. Listen carefully now. He says, be angry and do not sin, but do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Go to bed sulking. Go to bed pouting. Or worse, if you're married and you have the privilege of a spare room. I know it must just be me and Bridget. Nobody else, I guess. But there are times when us, will get angry at something or someone. God's plan is, this is real, but deal. This is real, but deal with it. And I think I know it's not the only reason, but I think that's why God said, David, you're a man after my own heart. Because David kept short accounts. When he messed up, he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to hide from God, I'm going to run away, I'm going to go and do that. David was very quick. Throughout Scripture, you will see David was very quick to respond to God and get it over and sort it out. Don't let it. The problem is hurting people hurt people. Deal with your unresolved yesterdays. Number four, unhealthy view of self. I know we spoke about this in part one of Clearing the Minefield. We looked at what the minds of our mind were, and one of them was our view of self. Low self-image was the thing we looked at. Now, I just want to say this. Self-assessment, or let's just go back here, self-promotion is no promotion at all. Self-assessment is also no assessment at all. well, I'm pretty good at this. It's not me, it's you. Yeah. I'm the right one in the team. It's these other elders that are like, sheesh, go work with them, man. It's me. I'm okay. No, that's my assessment. Unfortunately, though, we flip go the other way. So we've got self-assessment here, and we've got others' assessments here. And we cowtail to this assessment more than we do to his assessment. I think somebody said it this morning. Janine, we should bring the word. We got to see what God sees through his eyes, what he sees in us, not what the other people see. I had a friend once, and you know, what would the people think? If I come to church and I raise my hands, just today, I was like, man, I was lost in worship, and the thought just came to me. If we were at a football game or a hockey game or whatever, and the guy scored a goal, what do we do? Come on, what do we do? Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you. Yay! And we can't do that for the king. And I know it means I'm submitting to you, your lordship, Lord, but I'm pumped. I'm here. Chris was like, ding, 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 energized the bunny this morning. Wow. Because giving announcements are part of our worship. I'm trying. Well, we got the announcements now. Let's be doing it. Okay. No. Come on. Let's build together. Where am I? We allow others' thoughts, others' assessment of ourselves to count more than God's. What does God say about the problem? Is we don't know what God says about us most of the time. We have to learn what God says about us. No, that's nonsense. God says this about me. Mark, do you know that you're this and this and no? God doesn't say that about me. This is what he says about me. And that's where we go back to this first one, I think. Unfulfilled expectations. When people put their expectations upon me and I'm going, I can't deal with this stuff. Oh yeah, unhealthy. Romans 12:3. Just for time's sake, I've used a number of verses from the message this morning. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. In the message it says this, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. I love that. And I know it's paraphrasing, but sometimes we've got to get there. We have to see God, ourselves, through God's eyes. Last one. Unrepented sin. Now I know you're thinking, well, when I confess my sins, haven't I repented of all my sins? Yeah, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Right? However, if we just use confession as a way of saying, I'm sorry, because then I've got fire insurance. Listen carefully. I'm safe now. I just said I'm sorry, but then I go and I still behave the same way that I was behaving before. That's not repentance. That's just saying I'm sorry. You got caught in a lie. I'm sorry, Janine. I'm sorry I lied to you. And she says, I take responsibility for my lie. See, I know her. And next day, she comes, she asks me a question. I go, and I lie to her again. I don't repent. I'm still up to my old tricks. I just said I'm sorry to her the first day and she smiled and nodded and said, oh, it's cool, Mark, you're a great guy. Thank you for taking responsibility. No, I didn't take responsibility. It was just useless words that came out of my mouth. Confession is saying I'm sorry. Repentance is I'm turning away. I think differently. I speak differently. I behave differently. I'm now traveling. I've checked my baggage. I've taken responsibility when I get to the other end. I'm going to claim my baggage and I'm working through this stuff. Psalm 32:3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, says David. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. Selah. Let's think about it for a while. Let's just stop and pause and think about it for a while. That's what Selah is there for. He says, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When there was no repentance in me, when I just kept quiet and I thought it would go away and I wouldn't deal with my yesterdays and I wouldn't deal with my pain and I wouldn't deal with my unrepentant heart, my bones were wasting away inside of me. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Constantly I felt the weight of your hand upon me. The weight and sin that was crushing me. The weight of the stuff that I carry. Oh, the joy to get rid of that stuff and to walk free and travel light. My strength was dried up as the heat of a summer. Some of you should go to South Africa in February and travel through a wonderful sheep farming community called the Karoo, where even the water dries up in the radiator and the cars die. That's how hot it is there. There's not a breath of wind. It's like Saskatchewan. It's just flat, arid sheep farming areas. February's a wonderful time if you want to feel some real heat. The weight of life pressed down on me. I said I was sorry, but I never took the steps to walk away from my sin, from my bad choices, the wrong people and places. I still carry the stuff I should have dumped in the dumpster. And if you read my little thing, it's often we take it and we go, yes, I'm getting rid of the stuff, and I dump it in the dumpster, a season to cast away. And I walk away, and then there's something inside of me that says, I've got to go dumpster diving. And I go and fetch the junk out of the dumpster, and I put it back on me again, and I'm walking now with my limp again. And I go back to the dumpster. Isn't it time to get rid of that stuff? That junk, for once and for all? On our life's journey, instead of adjusting to the weight of the stuff we carry and walk with a limp, we should check our stuff in. I've said it enough times now. I hope you're getting this truth. Okay, let's move on. Spiritual truth to claim our stuff. Can I have a tissue, please? Thank you. Okay. Excuse me. Okay, what's it say? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Man, get that in scripture into your heart. This is a spiritual truth. This is going to be a spiritual truth we're going to carry through this whole series to help us to work this out. Although we have worldly problems, because we live in a worldly, fallen world, worldly solutions do not fix them. They appear natural issues to us. However, they are spiritual ones and can only be remedied by spiritual powers. This is the truth. We have to fix spiritual problems with spiritual powers. And God is saying to us, you know, sometimes we make vain attempts. And we thank heavens for Google. Because we can find a lot of stuff on there and we can find a lot of rubbish on there. Hear me clearly. Do not accept everything you read on Google. Or Wikipedia. Yeah, I know. Because you can go and change stuff. You know that, don't you? Okay. We make vain attempts of self-diagnosis, medications. Well, I have these symptoms. Let me go and check it. Oh, okay, that's what I've got. Now I'm self-diagnosed. Then I go to the chemist or the pharmacy, and you go to the drugstore, and you go there and say, I've self-diagnosed, so therefore give me these medications. And then we go and we get self-help books and self-help psychology and self-help stuff. I don't know where I am in my notes here. Self-help. Self-help, yeah. And self-help therapies. And sometimes we just, oh, this is just too much for me. I'm just too hard. I just give up. I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh. God is saying, I have a plan. I have a remedy for you. I have a ways and a means committee to help you out. It's called Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I can help you out with this kind of stuff. And he says we have divine power to destroy. And I like the word in the NIV. It says demolish. Sounds so much better. You know, I can take this hammer and demolish this thing. Completely broken. It can't be fitted and glued back together again. We demolish it first, then we throw it in the dumpster, and we can't find the pieces in the dumpster anymore. Am I just excited here? Is this making any sense? Okay. Strongholds. Says to destroy the strongholds. That one area maybe for you. Just that one. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's two or three. I don't know. That one area in your life that keeps tripping you up. 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 That's what the stronghold is. Just so you, for the Greek speakers, that word is a churuma. Easy for me, I'm a South African. I've got the guttural thing going. A churuma. You know what it means? We know it's a military term. I've told you that before. What it means, it's a fortress or a prisoner locked by deception. A stronghold, you're a prisoner locked by deception. And what it basically is saying is you're living a life that is not true. You're living a life based on a lie. The stuff we carry, this stuff we carry that I'm talking about, is not based on reality. It seems like reality, but it's a lie. It seems like a fact. You might even say, hey, I've got all this stuff to prove it. But spiritually, it's a lie. And we are spiritual beings having a earthly experience, if we understand that. Chris, when he preached, spoke about know thyself. We've got to know who we are in God in order for us to stand separate from this. Janine gave us the whole way how brain works and how it all gets put together and the patterns and the thoughts and how scripture helps us to get rid of that stuff. And we've got to understand it. That we'll never be free in your life when you're living a lie. Because you just keep perpetuating that lie. We're a prisoner to deception. And I hope over the next few weeks, things are going to fall off to you. Even today, that's why I just felt so much. There were ministering angels today that are ministering right now. That things are popping into your head and you're going, oh, get rid of that thing. Oh, I get rid of that thing. What is that one stronghold, maybe two strongholds, I don't know, that is holding you? For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. And maybe you need to meditate on what does that mean? Because it's a way above our thinking. Divine power. To demolish, destroy strongholds. If I'm in Jesus, Jesus is in me. I'm in the Father's in me. I have this divine power because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to go through the processes. So the question would be, how do we fix the stronghold stuff? I don't have great theories. I have Bible. So glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, we destroy arguments. We destroy the arguments. Well, what are the arguments? Those are the things that Satan says about you. We have to destroy those arguments. We have to go, no, I have divine power to destroy the stronghold. I'm destroying that argument. And every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. What is that? Those are words that come that are counteractive to what God says about you. Satan's bombarding you here. God is saying the good stuff, but you're having counteractive thoughts here that are bombarding you. And we have to destroy the argument and every lofty opinion against the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive. You can't help sometimes having a thought jump into your head. That's just reality. It's what you do with that thought thereafter. Take it captive. Get rid of it. Don't hold on to it. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. If I've preached this message once, I've preached it 100 times. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Destroy the argument, every lofty opinion against God. Take every thought captive. Do not conform any longer. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self. I'm putting off the old self. I'm not holding on to it. I'm putting it off. I'm renewing my mind. Oh God, make me a better husband. Oh God, make me a better scholar. Oh God, make me a better wife. Oh God, make me a better son or a daughter. Make me a better pastor. It's Disneyland. Really? Yeah. I choose to be a better pastor. I choose to care about the flock and the heart that God has put on me, in me. God's called. God came. He said, I do. You do. Where are we? Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We go back to Colossians chapter 3. When the old self, we keep being corrupted by the deceitful desires. And we don't even know it sometimes. We're just happy chewing through the tulips, having a wonderful time. And we don't know that our heart above all else, the scripture tells us, is wicked. I'm not cross. I'm getting over flu. Help me. Are you hearing me? I have no greater desire in my life to see you guys all walk in freedom and liberty and bringing your neighbors to church and to being witnesses. Martos is the Greek word, if you like the Greek, which means a martyr for the kingdom. I lay my life down for the kingdom. Jesus said, would you please be martyrs for me? No, he didn't. He said, you will. Sort of like an imperative. I know I'm going off my notes here. Let's go back. Which has been corrupted to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. I have a new mind. I change the way. I'm not just saying I'm sorry. I'm actually repenting. And I'm actually being made new in my mind because I think differently. I don't think about the same way that I do all the time. I don't see you with glass-filtered glasses. I see clearly because that's what God has shown me. And I don't have rose-tinted or I don't have dark-tinted glasses to see you through because you're an itchy, scratchy person and I don't really get on with you, so I see you through a filter. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, clear the filter that I see them as you see them. I'm not talking about myself, of course. I'm talking about all of us. I suppose I should get on there. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In closing, three truths. God loves me. No matter what you do, no matter what you have done or what you will do, God loves you. Some people find this hard to believe because of the stuff we carry. Because you know you carry baggage. Come on, just be honest. I carry this baggage. I carry this thing. I carry this thing about you in my heart. Or I carry that thing about that person. Or I haven't dealt with stuff and I'm just bitter now and I'm angry and I'm frustrated because I've had unrealistic expectations. I'm not convinced because I think God's so hard to please. God's not hard to please. I always like to put it this way. Parents, when your kids are naughty or bad or mean, I don't know, you can add in a few descriptive ones there. Does your level of love fluctuate? Or do you love them nonetheless? Just like the father, he's not happy about what we do all the time, but he's still, the level is the same. It's not like he's going to go and sulk now. Well, you didn't do what I thought you. Because then he's living with unrealistic expectations. As Frank always says, God's not surprised by this. God knew all the time. He doesn't always like what we do. One of the most amazing scriptures, and again I'm reading it in the message, just so we get another grasp of it. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed by believing in Him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. John 3:16-17. Number two. Oh, I should have had that up there. Number two. God can free me. He's the one with the divine powers that He gives to us. He's the one when we lean on Him and we look to Him and follow Him. Sometimes we've succumbed to the lie. Well, this is just my lot in life. It's never getting any better. And God doesn't really hear me. You know, you've heard Bridget's testimony. She would think that God loves everybody in this room except her. I know there's some of you probably think that way too. He loves you all, but no, not me. Why not you? Well, I'm so bad. Really? Really? Do you understand John 3:16-17? Do you get hold of the cross and His death and the resurrection and why He came? We're all sinners. There's no degree of sin. God can free me. I've tried many times. I'm waiting for God to recognize me and the stuff. Now, He already recognized you 2,000 years ago. That's why He sent His Son. Time to cast away stuff into the dumpster. And do not go dumpster diving. Romans 8:1. Those who enter into Christ, being here for us, no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. How descriptive is that for us to understand? A new wind of God's expectation is blowing, and we don't have to live on this low-lying black cloud anymore, because He created a way where He can free us. I keep forgetting to do that. Let me do it now. Number three, last one. God can restore me. God's plan is to restore us to the original model. New attitudes in our minds. Not a fixed up one, but a brand new one. Psalm 71:20. You have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth You will bring me up again. And sometimes I know in whatever situation you're living in, whatever situation you find yourself in, that is your depths of the earth. It can't get any worse. It can't get any lower. I'm at the lowest ebb of my life. But God loves you. God can free you and God will restore you. If we just take the time to step into His gloriousness as we sang this morning, as we open our hearts, let's just stand together. As we stood together this morning, as we sang of His gloriousness, His blessedness, we can go through and we can get rid of all these unfulfilled expectations, untreated pain, unresolved yesterdays, unhealthy view of self, unrepented sin. So, well, I've repented all of my sin, but if you keep doing the same stuff all over again, there's an issue, there's a stronghold. Sorry, this is like a commercial break. God's not surprised. Just where you are, just take a little bit of time and do some business with God. Just close your eyes. Don't be looking around. Just humble yourselves and hear from heaven. Raise your hands if you will. Not because I say so, but just as an act of submission to the Father. Lord and Savior, Master. Father, I'm tired of trying to carry all this baggage, of all this stuff. And Lord God, I repent for not having checked my baggage. I repent for not acknowledging my stuff. And Lord God, I just come to you this morning, Lord God, and I ask for forgiveness. Lord God, would you release me of all this stuff that I'm carrying, this thing in my heart, Lord God. Lord, your word says that you will make me a new creation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've confessed and I repent, and I want to change the way I am, the way I think, and the way I speak, and the way I talk, and the way I behave. And I don't want this stronghold to hang over my life any longer. Holy Spirit, thank you for the divine power that we have been given to destroy the stronghold. We destroy the arguments that Satan brings. We destroy the lofty opinions that he brings about what God says about me. I acknowledge I am a child of God. I am a king's kid. I am saved. I am holy. I am righteous in his sight. I declare your sovereignty over my life today, Lord God. Blessed be your mighty name. Holy Father, blessed Savior. Just spend a few minutes with him. Just in your heart, just speaking out to the Father, declaring your love for him. He would renew your mind as you make a choice. Renew your heart attitude. Renew your mind attitude. Fall deeper in love with you, Lord. Greater are you, Jesus. Awesome are you, Father. Holy Spirit, ministering angels, minister to our hearts today and now. We declare the past is past. I take off that old shirt. I put on the robe of righteousness, clothed in your righteousness, imputed to me by what you did for me, Jesus, and not for what I've done. Blessed Savior, awesome Father.